Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. 7:02 on this Football Friday here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Devon Gibbons. Welcome as we run with you tonight until 10 o'clock here on 97.5, The Fanatic. We're going to have a good time. Talk about the Birds. The Birds back at it. We have a lot of people optimistic about their chances this weekend against the L.A. Chargers coming to town. And I think we need to keep track, too. Dylan McKinnon is producing the show. How many times we say San Diego when we talk about the Chargers? We already had one. We're not going to hold it against them. A call already coming in about the San Diego Chargers. It's the L.A. Chargers. It's a hard thing to break. I'm with you. Don't worry. I understand. I think I was saying Oakland. I said it like four times last week. So don't worry. Don't worry. It's all good. I get it. But we can keep track of it, have a little fun with it as well. But look, last week, I look at Ant-Man already. I opened up Twitter, and he says, "You saw last week, Eagles win 57-10. I love it. I love it. I'm not with you, Ant, and a good, having fun, but I'm not there. I'm just not there at all. But listen, we want to talk about this. There's a lot of people who really feel optimistic about the Eagles' chances against the Chargers on Sunday. 4 o'clock start. 4 o'clock start back here, giving the West Coast team a little bit of something, allowing them some time to go ahead and get back on their normal schedule, right, from being out west. So 4 o'clock start here, and I just don't. Well, nothing really changes with the injury stuff that we found out. So the Chargers right now, both of their starting cornerbacks are out, and with their cornerbacks being out, everybody's feeling good about the Eagles' chances, seeing that they're going to be without Mike Davis and Asante Samuel Jr. All right, I get it. And you're talking about two starters. I understand that. I really do. And I'm not saying that the Chargers are going to be world beaters and they're going to flat out destroy all of these teams that they play. They're going to lose games. They look really good. They have three losses. Okay, right? They're going to win some really good games. They're going to beat the Baltimore Ravens and have me thinking that they are Super Bowl contenders and look pretty good doing so. I just haven't seen it from the Eagles where I feel good about their chances of beating these teams. I don't. I really don't. I don't look at them and say that they are going to come home and perform well against this football team. And here's another reason why. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles right now and where they are sitting 3-5, folks, they have played three home games already. San Francisco, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. They're 0-3. They have not won here yet. Will that streak be snapped at some point? Sure, it will. Sure, it will. Will it be this weekend? I don't think so. I actually think it might be the New Orleans Saints game, even though Sean Payton has them right now at 5-2, and I don't know how the heck he did that. I just don't think it's this weekend, folks. I really don't. So I'm already laying it out there. Jamie and I talked about it. I don't think that they're going to beat this team this weekend. But that doesn't mean that I'm right. They have three games already in the books that they've won of these eight games. I've picked against them every single week. Clearly, I am not right every week. But for you, you've probably done it more logically. You've looked at how they're going to win these games. You look at how they're going to win this one. Rasheem talked about the fact that the corners are going to be down. They're going to take advantage of that. Justin Herbert and that team coming this way may not be able to put up the points that we've seen thus far from them during the season. He had the Eagles winning 27-17 on Sunday against this Chargers football team. So as I ask you, as we sit here and we talk about the squad, 610-632-0975, how do they get it done? How do they win this game? Do they really have a shot of beating the Chargers this weekend? And I do believe that they have a real chance of beating the LA Chargers this weekend. I do. I really do. But I think when it all comes down to it, the Chargers will come away and have their fifth win of the season and be 5-3. The Birds will be 3-6. I don't think that they win this one. I do believe it's a close one. 27-24 is my final score. I already gave that to Pat Egan for our social media purposes to put all of our picks up there. and I think the Birds lose 27-24. Close game. They're in it the entire way. It's not a deceiving line that they came back and they had to air it out to put themselves back in a position to win the game. I actually believe that they have an opportunity to win this game. But I think the Chargers will walk away with the win 27-24 on Sunday. And I believe that they're going to have issues offensively. They're going to look at, yes, the success that they had last week where they didn't have to play things more so 20 yards back with their safeties, playing a little bit closer, playing underneath, stopping all that stuff too. I do think they get beat deep. I do. I think they get beat deep. I think that that's something that they've been worrying about all season long, and the Chargers do take advantage of it. I think you're playing against a much better player in Justin Herbert than we saw with Jared Goff last week. He will not make he might turn the ball over once. He might do that, but he'll read the football field much better where he hits his targets, where he gives them the opportunity to make plays down the field. They'll devise some things where it works for them down the field. And I think that that's how the Chargers, I believe, that's how the Chargers offensively with the receivers and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen combined with Austin Eckler, his dual work that he does on the ground and out of the backfield. I believe he has 40-plus catches out of the backfield already, Austin Eckler, as a receiver for the Chargers. He is a problem. Matched up against those linebackers, that is going to be a problem for them. Now, I don't know that is Avante Maddox going to get that assignment? Are they going to have Taylor try to keep up with him? Jared Cook is not like TJ Hockenson where he's going to get 10-plus catches like Hockenson did for 89 yards last week against the Lions. No, that's not going to be the case. But Jared Cook in the red zone or even on first down situations in the middle of the field, he might be able to exploit that. I just look at it and say you're playing against a much better quarterback. It's not Sam Darnold. Jared Goff, these are not those players. He is not those players. And while I am not making him out to be right now, all right, forget about all the Aaron Rodgers stuff that's going on, talking about the quarterback. While he is not Aaron Rodgers yet, he is a very good young quarterback in this league that I think he will exploit the defense enough, understanding how to read the pre-snap, knowing where to go with the veteran receivers that he has, the weapon out of the backfield that is Austin Eckler. I think they win the game 27-24, and I want to know from you why you feel so optimistic about this team and beating this Los Angeles Chargers team. What is it about the Chargers that makes you believe that the Eagles can beat them coming back home? Is it because of the win last week against Detroit? You saw it, 44 points. They can put up this number against the Chargers. The defense is not that great, so maybe they do. They're going to be without their two starting corners. Maybe they do actually go out there and hang a good number on them. Jalen Reagor looks like he's going to play according to the head coach. Devontae Smith has been, you know, just out there, and we know he's a good receiver. Only two receptions last week. But, hey, could they get some stuff going offensively because of the absence of those two corners? They absolutely can. They absolutely can. We saw the running game as part of the offense last week. Howard, Scott, doing a tremendous job, over 100 yards combined for those two on the ground. Gainwell didn't have himself a good one, but he did get 13 carries. So will that again be part of the offense? Will they have figured something out and understand that they need to do that in order to win these football games? Is that what they're going to do? Is that what they're going to do? If not, maybe, again, to my point, they're going to walk away with the loss. I think they're going to get down. Yes, they'll be in it, but what he likes to do is what he likes to do. He'll pass the football. He'll have some success. He won't run the football like we saw last week against Detroit, and that's where this team will lose the game. That's just my opinion. I don't think it works out. Offensive line is not great, as Rasheem talked about, but when you have somebody like Slater on one side, the left side, and he's doing his job against Derek Barnett, or Josh Sweat, and he's holding up well against them, the run game will work. The pass game will work. They'll get the ball out quickly. They won't allow that stuff to happen. Quick drops, quick slants, they'll make that stuff work. 610-632 0975. So that's how I believe the Eagles will fall to the Chargers on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Please tell me where I am wrong. I've been wrong quite a bit this year, three times, where the Eagles have won these games. Tell me where I'm wrong tonight, and tell me where you believe this Eagles team and why you believe they can take down this squad on Sunday, the visiting Chargers, who are 2-1 away from Los Angeles at this time, a 4-3 record overall, losers of their last two. That's part of the reason there for me. I think they snapped that, and they're in a spot where they're looking at the Raiders, the Gruden problems, now the Ruggs issue, where that has been hovering over the team. And sure, they're going to want to get on the field and get away from all of that stuff. And they've won two in a row since this John Gruden stuff took place. Now they have to deal with the Henry Ruggs issue, where he is released because of, I think we all know at this time, the vehicular homicide that is now hovering over him. And not good for him. And that's, look, the Chargers are trying to keep pace in this tough AFC West, where the Raiders are 5-2. Are they as good as that 5-2 record indicates? Well, look, they're 5-2. They're 5-2. But they are 4-3. Chiefs and Broncos, 4-4, right behind them. They're trying to keep pace with these teams in that division where they don't lose too much ground and they see an opportunity where they can win this division. That's why I look at it. And you think about these types of things, you can only can control what you can control. That is one thing that they can control. Beating this team to stay right there with the Raiders and the Chiefs, as well as the Broncos. The Raiders have the Giants. So if you believe that the Raiders would travel to New York and beat the Giants, then right there, that's another win for them. You look at Denver and Dallas. Dallas is going to beat the Denver Broncos on Sunday. They are. It's just what it's going to be. And Kansas City has a tough one against Green Bay, even though Green Bay now is going to be without their starting quarterback. If you believe they have a good team, a good coach, and they figure things out with Jordan Love at the quarterback position, they'll still be in it, an opportunity to win. Kansas City gives up points. Then that's a spot right there where they can look at that one and feel good about where they are, especially if they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And give themselves an opportunity to even up at 4-4. And if Kansas City and Denver fall, as well as the Las Vegas Raiders, then they'll position themselves pretty well to be right there again in the mix in the AFC West. So I'm looking at all of that. That's where I am. Where are you? 610-632-0975. I know you're probably tired of me picking against them. It's not my fault. I don't throw the interceptions or throw the touchdowns or fumble the football or recover fumbles and whatever it might be or make field goals. I didn't do it. All I'm doing is looking at the team, what's in front of them, how they go about it with the team that's in front of them, and figuring out if they can actually win the game. That's where I go. That's where I go. I evaluate it. I look at it. I see if I like it. If I don't, I have to tell you the truth. That's where I am. I think they lose again against the Chargers this weekend. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where you're right in believing that they can take down the Chargers back here at Lincoln Financial Field. The number is 610-632-0975, by the way. 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. And the latest on your basketball team, 7-2 record, first in the Eastern Conference right now, very early in the season, but you got to give them credit where credit is due. You're looking at the Sixers, winners of 5 games in a row. They are right now in front in the Atlantic Division by a full game over the Toronto Raptors, a game and a half over Brooklyn and New York, as well as the Sixers are 7-2. They won their last five games, and they did their last one, Detroit, last night, 103-98, on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, beating Chicago on Wednesday. And we bring it up, of course, because they were without Tobias Harris, Danny Green, Furkan Korkmaz, Isaiah Joe. And as we know already this season, they've also been without Ben Simmons. Now the latest comes out with Ben Simmons once again, where we know they stopped fining him because he told them he wasn't ready to play. They were being what they were supposed to be, a supportive team, supportive organization, and they backed off, allowing him to work on things with his mental health. Well, now, the 76ers decided, I'm tired of this. This is enough. All we ask you to do is come to the facility and be a part of the team. You can still speak to the doctors that you speak to. We want you to speak to our doctors as well. They have now fined him for Thursday night's game over the Pistons because he missed the game and he has not been reporting for weight training sessions, film sessions, or just being at practice and available for the team. And they have now decided to continue to fine him until he cooperates with the team physicians on his mental health and fulfills other related obligations. They're saying they had enough. We've backed off because of the mental health part. I think he can fulfill those job duties, weights, film session, being there, just being supportive as part of the team while not playing. I don't think they're asking a lot to do that. Now, we know their strategy in all of this, the Sixer side strategy with the Simmons side as well, with his camp, Rich Paul and Ben Simmons. Right now, again, this doesn't look good for the Ben Simmons side. Sixers, I look at this one and say the Sixers, I don't have a problem with what they did. I don't have a problem at all with what they did. They did what they felt was necessary. They have their reasons. They've talked to him. We have not. This is the route that they decided to take. And I tell you, as long as the team keeps winning, it doesn't look good for Ben Simmons. They can go on a losing streak. I'm well aware of that. I think we all know that they can go on a losing streak and it just, we'll start talking about, oh man, they need Simmons. Never have I looked at this and said that they couldn't use what he brings to the table. I know they can use what he brings to the table because I still believe he is that good. Why wouldn't you want your second best player on the floor helping out defensively and offensively and what he can do? But right now, with where they are and feeling good with where they are, I have no problem with what they did in saying to Ben Simmons, all right, enough is enough on this. All we're asking you to do is just come be a supportive teammate. That's all we're asking you to do. And he's not willing to do that. So they hit him again in the pockets. I don't know what's next for the Simmons side. We clearly know what's next for the Sixers side. What do you make of it? Do you think the Sixers were right with what they did? Do you have a problem? Do you like it? I'm cool with it. I am cool with it. We're all tired of the Simmons part. Many people have decided, just move on. Just get rid of the guy. Let's just move on. Get rid of this all. And let's just get to basketball. We see that they're playing good team basketball right now. I'm fine with what they've done. I really am. I am fine with what they've done. I know you're tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of what we have to deal with here. I just want to watch the basketball team. I just want to see them win games. If they lose, I want to see how they lose it. I want to talk about it with you. And that's generally what we've done. And we've all been pretty good about leaving him out of it. But yet again, it's brought back because he is now being fined for not participating whatsoever in team activities as far as practice goes and weight sessions go for Simmons and the Sixers. I have no issue with what they've done. What do you guys make? Call in. We'll talk Birds. We'll talk Sixers. I want your predictions for the game as always. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon is here. We'll give you our side topic for the night as well. Have a little fun on this Football Friday. And by the way, on this Football Friday, the Football Friday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Barrett Brooks, our old friend, he will join us at 8 o'clock from NBC Sports Philadelphia to talk about the Birds and their game against the Chargers. That's at 8 o'clock. We'll speak with B. Brooks, pick his brain on the Birds and how he feels about them heading into this game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Not the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll do that with B. Brooks at 8 o'clock. We'll talk with you. Simmons on the table. Are the Sixers well within their right to do this now, finding him again, and the Philadelphia Eagles? I think they're going to lose again. Close game. They'll be in the game. But I'm not as optimistic as a lot of people are. Why are you so optimistic? And when you do call in, I'd like to get your predictions on the game as always, as we do on these Football Fridays. Get your prediction of the game. See where the Birds end up on Sunday for you. 610-632-0975. Dylan is here. I'm here. We're hanging out with you until 10. Running 3 hours, 4 hours total. We thank Jamie for stepping in with us right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 7:31 at 97.5 The Fanatic here on this Football Friday. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. And the 7 o'clock hour that we are just into, halfway point, is brought to you by my good friends, my folks, the Grace Auto Group. For low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s. Visit GraceAutoPA.com. That's Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, PA, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. And I always tell you about the great website, the inventory that they have, and then ask you to go visit them face-to-face, visit personally so you can take a look at the vehicles. And I always tell you about the Benz or the BMW and Audi, Acura, all these great cars that they have. Ton of them. Can I tell you about this 2018 Dodge Charger Daytona 392? This thing is nasty. Black. It's black on black. It's awesome. Black on black. The navigation, of course, the backup camera, a roof. You know, I love the sunroof, especially at night. I'm weird. I like to open up the roof at night just so all the, you know, the natural light can come in. Dylan says yes. Same thing with him. The heated and cooled suede seats. Huh? You know me too. I hate the cold. So I turn on the heated seats. I take advantage. And the heated steering wheel, that is also good overnight, right? You come out, your hands are freezing. You got the gloves, but you want to have, you want to feel the leather of the steering wheel. The blind spot, parking assist, Apple CarPlay. You love to link your car to your phone and play the music and all. Dual zone climate control, Bluetooth. It's fantastic. Power seats. It's a beautiful car. I'm telling you, black on black is really, really nice. And the suede interior seats is really cool. And I think the photos are fantastic. Won't do you justice until you go see that thing, though, because it's nasty. It looks great. It's a beautiful car, black interior, just under 25,000 miles on this 2018. So, again, you do the math, you know that's a great number on a 2018 vehicle. And I tell you about it because I know Grace Auto Group and I know how great they are. They will treat you right. They will do a great job of getting you pre-approved and making sure you're in the vehicle that you want. And this one might be the vehicle for you, black on black. And when you get it, come by here to studios so I can see you in it. We can take a picture in it together because I want to stunt with it like you will with this beautiful car. So check it out, graceautopa.com. Check out my man Dan while you go out there and visit. All right. 610-632-0975. And just our little fun side topic while we talk Eagles and Sixers, Simmons' story. And I have one more thing I want to say about Simmons, but our fun side topic today, 1955, November 5th, our good friend Doc Brown did something. You're like, Doc Brown? Who the hell is Doc Brown? Dylan, let's tell everybody what Doc Brown did.
Here's a red letter date in the history of science. November 5th, 1955. Yes, of course, November 5th, 1955.
Well, I don't get what happened.
That was the day I invented time travel. I remember it vividly. I was standing on the edge of my toilet, hanging a clock. The porcelain was wet. I slipped, hit my head on the edge of the sink. And when I came to, I had a revelation. A vision. A picture in my head. A picture of this. This is what makes time travel possible. flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor?
It's taken me almost 30 years of my entire family fortune to realize the vision of that day. My God, has it been that long?
It has been that long, Doc. It has been that long. We all know it. Back to the Future. Great movie. 1955, November 5th. Doc Brown created, discovered the time travel. The flux capacitor. Most people are like, what is the flux capacitor? Until you watch Back to the Future, you've seen it enough, and you know exactly what the flux capacitor is because of the movie. So we ask you, while we sit here with you until 10 o'clock, you call in, talk Birds, talk Sixers and Simmons and other things. You can go back, not just sports, anything. I don't want to talk about, like, bad personal things that have happened in your life. We're talking fun stuff, whether it's sports. You missed a concert that you wanted to go to. You missed a sporting event. Maybe you wanted to draft another player and wish you didn't take Ben Simmons. I don't want to go there either, but you know what I'm saying. One thing you can go back in the time, not 1955 if you don't have to, like Doc Brown did, somewhere in the past that you can go back to and change one thing, whether it's you going to a concert, whether you are missing the sporting event. Did you miss the movie when it came out? Could you have been in the movie? I don't know. Could you have been part of a band that became successful? I have no idea. But let's have some fun. Something that you wish you can go back in time like Doc Brown did and Marty as well. And maybe change the course of history for you as a sports fan, as you just as an individual. But let's have some fun with it. Nothing too serious, folks. I don't want to get into I can't stand her or I can't stand him. You know what I mean? There are plenty of those people we know in our lives in the world, and we try to have fun. You know, we always love to have fun. We are family, but I don't want to go in that direction. So let's have some fun. Whether it's sports, did you want to take Jason Tatum? I don't know. Screw Danny Ainge. Even though you traded up, he would never do business with you again. Maybe you looked that funny around the league, but the trio of Simmons, Embiid, and Tatum, you wish you can go back in time and whisper in Jerry Colangelo's ear and tell him, my man, take Jason Tatum. Forget about Danny Ainge. His feelings will be all right. He'll be fine. Jason Tatum, do that. That's what we want to do with you. We'll get Dylan's later. I'll give you mine as well. We want yours first. So now that before we take a phone call, we have time. You know what we want to do. 1955 and November 5th, Doc Brown slipped on the toilet, banged his head, and discovered that he was, the flux capacitor and time travel. Let's do that with you. 610-632-0975. Maybe you want to go back and re-celebrate all over again 2018 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Maybe so. Maybe you want to go back and whisper in Donovan and T.O.'s ear. I don't know. And tell them something. Tell B. West. Hey, B. West, go in there and smooth this out. You guys are going to be on something here. Whatever it is. Let's have some fun tonight. Let's start off on the phones in Center City with our friend Dave tipping us off on this Football Friday. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, what's going on, guy?
How you feeling, man?
Oh, my God. I owned a DeLorean for 4 years.
Did you really? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Parts were astronomical. The mechanic drove the car more than I did.
Oh, man.
But what a girl magnet.
Oh, look at you.
It was a mixture. It had a Peugeot transmission, a Volkswagen engine, a GM chassis. It was heavy as can be. It was a total failure. But the movie, as you said, Back to the Future, put that car on the map. I wish I still had it, Devon.
Oh, man. How was it lifting those car doors every day?
Well, it was all hydraulic. And believe it or not, like you would think the clearance is not good. Those doors open straight up, whereas the conventional doors open straight out. So I could basically fit that car in a phone booth, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. But fit in tight spaces, yeah.
Yeah, they only made 8,600 of them. I had number 1303. But let's get down to business.
Let's do it.
I don't like Andy. I'm not a fan of Andy Reid on the field or off the field. But he's got the best football team in the AFC West. The year they won the Super Bowl, they were 4-5, maybe 5-5. They are the best team. Raiders caught a break. If they play the Eagles week 13, it's a different outcome. And I think if they play the Chiefs week 14, it'd be a little tighter. Hopefully they take care of business against Denver and the Chargers, which I think they will.
And that brings it back to the Chargers because of the Eagles this weekend. How?
I think the Eagles are the more confident football team now. And, unfortunately, the Eagles have been doing their road warrior impersonation. It's time to win a game at home.
0-3.
Yeah.
0-3. Hey,
big bravo to the Sixers, okay? The Los Angeles Lakers have a payroll of $460 million, and they're running around like the Keystone Cops out there. They're losing to bad basketball teams. They're 3-4. The Sixers are ready to sign Devon Givens to a 10-day contract.
I'm ready.
And they're 7-2.
I'm ready. I'll do it for free, too. Just give me a uniform and give me the pill and let's go.
Can you still shoot the rock?
I can still shoot. I have to warm up, but I can still shoot it.
Yeah, you take care, brother.
I appreciate it. Give me a score, Dave. Don't. You're not getting off that easy. Give me a score.
Football score? Yeah. Oh, God. 30-20 Eagles. But could I share something with you real quick, Devon?
30-20 Eagles. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Last night's score, Colts 45, Jets 30. That seems like a normal score, right?
Mm-hmm.
You believe in the history of the NFL? That is the first game that ever ended up 45-30.
45-30. I guess just both teams getting that high and one 45, the other 30, still putting up 75 points in the game, Dave. And maybe that's where, you know, thanks for the call, man. That's where you look at it and say that is not a normal thing for an NFL score. Maybe so. Maybe that's how we look at that one. But thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate you starting us off. And he went 30-28 birds against the Chargers. Again, confidence once again with this football team. Number one, being able to put up points on the opposition. We've seen them put up points, but a lot of it was in mop-up duty where they had to come back. And to Dave's point, they have not won at home just yet. This one, he's saying they get their first win of the season at home, and they hang 30 on this Chargers defense, which is not great, as we know. They're not very good. They're right there at the bottom of the NFL in terms of team defense. But they still allow 28. So their defense is not that great either. Huh? It's not that great. Right now, the Los Angeles Chargers, let me see quickly here while this thing refreshes. The Los Angeles Chargers right now, in terms of yards a game, let's go with the points a game. The Chargers right now, they give up 25 points a game. The Eagles give up 23.9. So defensively, the Chargers have their issues. They really do have their issues. And they also give up 362 per game as far as yardage goes. The Eagles give up 344. So right now, this just simply tells us this could be a high-scoring game and a lot of yards. See how it goes. 610-632-0975. Roy is in New Hampshire with us here tonight on this Football Friday, talking a little hoops though. What's up, Roy?
Hey, Devon. Hey, man, I haven't talked to you since, it's been a long time, man. But anyway.
Good to hear from you.
It's a couple of things. I mean, I understand that the general manager said that he wants a superstar. Why can't we just take an ascending star? And I don't know if the two deals I'm thinking about, Brogdon, Caris LeVert deal was really on the table, or the trade for SGA out of Oklahoma City was really on the table. Why can't we have just taken one of those deals if they were really available?
The Malcolm Brogdon thing, he just signed a new contract. So, Roy, I don't think he's going anywhere with the extension that he got for 2 years. That's likely off the table right now, and they're off to a tough start. So who knows what changes for them in the future. But that's the one thing there. As far as I don't mind Daryl Morey wanting what's best. I mean, no one's saying that Ben Simmons can't play. So as much of a headache as it is right now, and he may be for them, I am with him. I am on their side where I look at it and say, I want the very best player that they can get. And while this is still a young season, teams will, Roy, at some point figure out, you know what? All right, we're not good enough, but we need something. And we have to give up something to get something. Simmons is available. We know we have to give up something, but maybe he makes up a difference here where we'll feel like we're a little bit better getting him back while we are still shipping this player out, or if it's a three-team deal. So I think at some point they'll figure it out. But I'm with them right now. Take your time. Get the player that you want for Simmons.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Devon. I agree with everything you've done so far to this point. It's just that I would be looking more at an ascending player than it doesn't have to be a superstar. An ascending player, say like a Shea Michael Gilchrist, you can, if something happens to Embiid, God forbid, then you can build around Shea
Gilchrist Alexander.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but again, maybe so with them, but they're probably also looking at building around Shea Gilgeous Alexander since they gave him that contract, and they want him being the cornerstone of whatever they do. They'll pick up the veterans whenever they're ready to do so and accelerate their rebuilding. Or maybe they're just still ready to be on the timeline that they're on right now, Roy, and not rush it just yet, and especially not for Simmons. Here's the other part that I wanted to say, Roy, that I didn't get a chance to bring up. I think teams, too, and I know me and Tyrone were talking about this during one of the breaks, teams are going to want to see him on the floor. And maybe that is a part of this thing with the Sixers, where they're like, hey, we might make a deal with you, but we don't know what's going on with that dude.
Yeah.
So is his mind right? Physicality, is he right? Is he ready to get on the floor and do stuff? He keeps saying he's not ready, but is he going to be ready when he gets to the next destination? And they're like, all right, we're not going to do anything until you get out on the floor. So.
Yeah.
He might have to take the floor. While I don't think he's ever going to wear a uniform again, that's something to think about, that part.
Right, right.
Yep.
Well, it wouldn't bother me if they sat on him for 4 years for the remainder of his contract and make him stew in his juices. Well, it would not bother me one
bit.
I
would prefer to send him to a tough situation and let him sit because I want the Sixers to win. And I want the pieces that they're going to get back to help them win in his deal. So that's that's where I am. You're a Birds fan?
If I was one of the Thump peers, hey, man, you remember the Bump and Thump deal? Bump and Thump, Mahorn and Barkley.
Mahorn and Barkley, Thump and Bump.
Yeah, you remember the joke that they played on Manute Bol?
Yeah, when he, what was it, Rick Mahorn's head was under the table, and when he lifted.
Head was on the table.
Yeah.
I thought that was the funniest thing, man, back in the day. I cracked up.
So you would just go back in time just to be around for that?
Yeah, man, that was a fun team. That was a fun team, man.
They ran into the Bulls in round one.
I wish I could have.
Was that the year they ran into the Bulls in round one or round two? They beat Detroit. No, they beat Detroit in round.
They beat Detroit. Yeah.
No. I can't remember. I had to think about that. But I know a team you're talking about that was a fun team. Roy, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
All right.
You got it, man. Charles Barkley, Rick Mahorn, Thump and Bump. Johnny Dawkins, Hersey Hawkins, Dawkin Hawk or Hawkin Dawk, whatever order they had it in, and Mike Jaminski, where he would drop every 17-footer in your eye, face up, bang, knock it down. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, if this is what they're doing and they're like, we need you out there on the floor because you want to go, that's fine. We will accommodate you and send you on your way to go play for one of these other 29 teams. But these other teams that are asking about you want to know if you're ready to play. And if you're not ready to play, they're not making a move. We're fine. We're 7-2. You're sitting at home now losing money again. So we need to get you on the floor if you want to get out of here. Show these people that you can still play and that you have interest in playing. Interest in playing. I'm no psychologist. I don't play one on the radio. I have no idea. What I do feel about him, it makes me think, does he love basketball? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Everybody, Drew, Mitch, everybody else that's there, everybody listening and tweeting in as well. Do we know if he loves basketball? I'm not getting into the mental health part of it. I'm strictly talking about the game itself that has offered him this opportunity to be wealthy beyond belief, to be the celebrity that he is, that he loves that part, the positive things that come with that. Does he love the game? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. Does he love the game? And right now he has the issues that he's dealing with. Does he want to play? I don't even know that he wants to play. He says he'll play for any of the 29 teams. All right, he'll play for any of the other 29 teams, right? Any of the other 29 teams. So what if he's traded next week? Is he taking the floor for them? Is he reporting the practice for them? If that's the case, then was this the right reason for you not missing games with the Sixers? If you take the floor next week in Cleveland? I don't think so. I don't. Andrew and Bluebell with us next. Drew, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Thanks.
The first thing I wanted to bring up is Ben Simmons. And, normally I wouldn't speak about mental health because obviously I think it's very personal. But with all the rumors that we heard before the season about him planning to never play a game ever again in the Sixers uniform.
Yeah.
With those rumors coming out, which are leaked from his agents, and with the whole back injury, he gets cleared by the Sixers medical staff, and then the mental health comes out, right? Because of that, it's like not only are you losing Sixers fans, but I feel like you're also disrespecting like everybody else in the country that suffers from actual mental illness, from actual mental health problems. Like,
100%.
I think he's losing a lot of fans by doing that, if it's true.
But we will never know. We won't know. But to your point, you're absolutely right. And here's the other thing, Drew, as I just mentioned, the other teams and the organizations, executives and all. How about this? They're watching. They're paying attention. Yep. This is the number one story. Kyrie Irving and the vaccine thing, that's a story. But this is the number one story because of how weird it is and how crazy things are with him. Where, my man, you last time we saw you, you scored 5 points in a game and wouldn't shoot in 4 games in a 7-game series. Teams want to know if you are interested in playing basketball again.
Yes, sir. And the crazy part is I truly believe Ben Simmons doesn't plan on playing another game. And I truly believe that Morey, what he said to Mike Miss, he said, this could last years. I truly believe both of them. And that leaves us at a horrible point. It's a game of chicken. And I don't know who's going to break first. For me, the trade deadline is my limit because you can't waste another Embiid playoff series because you don't know how many more healthy ones you're going to get. I wanted to know what your limit is as far as when we need to give in.
Trade deadline. Yeah, as long as they're staying afloat and they're still hanging around there in the top of the Eastern Conference where we're looking at a top four, have home court advantage, at least with the top four seed. I want to stay far away from that play-in tournament thing. I want to worry about the top four alone. And by the trade deadline, if they're still hovering around that situation there, then I would hope that they would make the move.
Do you believe that Morey will wait longer than this year?
See, when you talk about this year, he was still going into the offseason. No, I think something would get done by the offseason.
Okay, and then for the thing I wish I did,
yeah.
I would just keep it. Obviously, I went to the Eagles parade, and that was probably one of the best moments of my life. I kind of regret not going to the Phillies one back in the day. I didn't go to that, and
Phillies
I kind of wish I went to that.
Okay.
After the Eagles one.
All right, you got an Eagles score for us?
No, I'm honestly not too invested in this year. I'm just hoping, I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy, so I'm hoping we can get somebody else in here eventually and lead the way.
I got you, man. Thanks for the call, Drew. Enjoy the weekend, man. We'll talk to you. Really appreciate it. Thank you, man. 610-632-0975. Elbow Shaferi Brian says Sixers won a round in 89-90, and then they got curb stomped by the Bulls in round two. Appreciate that, Brian. Crypto_E21 also says the same thing. Says, blessings, D. They beat Cleveland, lost to Chicago. They got smoke 4-1. So we appreciate those two for stepping in and helping me out as I had that brain cramp. Thank you so much. We'll take this quick break. We come right back. We got Mitch and Mike and everybody else. 610-632-0975. We also got in the 8 o'clock hour, B. Brooks, Barrett Brooks from NBC Sports Philadelphia. He will join us to talk about the Birds, previewing the Birds and the Chargers this weekend at Lincoln Financial Field. So we got you covered in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll do so when we get back with Mitch right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 8:03 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. How do the Birds win this weekend? I don't see it like everyone else does. A lot of optimism out there. And I guess I'm just standing by it all season long. I said they would win seven games. And then after they beat Atlanta, I said, I guess I'll adjust to 8 because I thought we saw something. But then I saw the other stuff that that we witnessed all through the other games and kind of reverted back to the 7 games because I didn't see a pathway. Now, I know the final games of the season, the Jets and the 5 against the division opponents, all in that stretch, winnable games, winnable opportunities. Many people see this one as a game that could be won by the Birds. I am not there. Winnable, yes. Winning it, no. My opinion, I don't see it. What are yours? We want your final scores and explain how they win this game. Like we always do, we'll take your predictions. Sixers and Simmons as well. They are now fining him again because he is not participating in anything with the team, whether it's a weight session, a film session, anything at practice. He's just simply not participating in anything. And they've had enough. They decided to come after him. And they just said, look, man. Team physicians, we want you to talk to our people as well. He's not doing that until he cooperates with the team physicians on the mental health and fulfills other basketball-related obligations. They will fine him his $360,000 a game like they did on Thursday night. Are the Sixers in it well within their right to do so? That's what we're asking you as we start things off. Let's go to the phones. Mitch and Phoenix. We'll have Barrett Brooks here shortly. Mitch and Phoenix next on The Fanatic. Hey, Mitch.
Good evening. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. You live in Mount Airy, right?
Around there.
Is the Stenton Diner still around?
I'm not familiar. That's not my neighborhood, so I don't know.
Okay. Terry Rozier, you a fan of his?
I like Terry Rozier, yes.
Miles Bridges?
Miles is playing very well, yep.
I would trade Ben Simmons and Cormaz for those two guys.
Would those other teams do it?
Well, if I was the general manager, the only thing I'd give up for Ben Simmons is a bench player and a couple draft choices.
But Terry Rozier and Miles Bridges are pretty good players, not just bench players.
Yeah, I know. But if I was a GM, that's all I'd give up for this guy. And not because he can't play basketball, although we know he can't shoot.
Well, he won't shoot. Not that he can't. He won't.
You don't think he can't shoot?
Okay.
No.
All right.
I say he can't shoot and he can't make foul shots. Obviously, if I'm a GM, I don't want that guy on my starting lineup, especially going into an end of a game or going into a playoff situation. But if they could steal a Rozier and a Bridges for Ben and say Cormaz, I'd do it in an RP.
Well, I wonder if people would be on board with that. Terry Rozier, we know he can score. Is he a starter? Really? Not sure. Sometimes he can be spot starter, can get a little out of his way. Miles Bridges, looks like Miles Bridges is in contention for most improved player this year. He turned down, I believe, $60 or $7 million contract, and he is betting on himself to get a bigger number like Tobias Harris did a couple of seasons ago from the Sixers. So curious to see where it all goes for those two players. I am.
All right, well, you're a basketball guy. Is Tyrese Maxey a starter?
So far, he has proven to be, yes. I didn't think he was ready for that role coming in. I thought he needed one more year. Is he a starter to be a point guard? That's the question, because that's where they need him to be. But through nine games, he's looked pretty good.
And I honestly think, because you know the rumors have been flying, that if Ben goes somewhere, the GM at the other team wants Tyrese in the mix. I think if they get rid of Tyrese, they're going to regret that for years to come.
Well, I think they want to hang on to him as well, Mitch. You got a score for the Birds?
Well, I can tell you this much. I bet against the Birds. I got the Chargers winning the game because I think they can win by at least 3 points.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take that one. I'll take that one, Dave, for sure. I mean, Mitch.
And I got a shout out for Anthony. Anthony, grow up, buddy. Grow up.
Huh?
Yeah, Anthony in the morning.
Oh, well, you got to talk to Ann about that one because I'm not familiar with what you guys are talking about. Anthony is a grown-up, and you got to call him and talk about that and let him know, Mitch. Thanks for the call. Let's go right now to the Comcast Business Hotline as we check in. My brother, haven't talked to him in a while. Got to get him back in the mix tonight. Joining us from NBC Sports Philadelphia, does a fantastic job pre-game, post-game on NBC Sports Philadelphia with the guys, the great people over there. It's my man, B. Brooks. Barrett Brooks. What's up, man?
My man said he got a problem with Anthony.
And that's something that he has to address with Anthony. I got Anthony's back, but I don't know what he's talking about, so I'll let Anthony figure that one out.
Man, how do I go on after that, man? You know,
well, I know you don't have a problem with Anthony, so it's all good.
Right. But what I will say, man, so if you don't see Tyrese Maxey as a point, you see him as a two?
So I thought he'd come in year number two. I thought he was a combo guard, more of a scoring guard right now at this stage of his career and not ready to run a championship contending team as the point guard to get guys involved and figure out a way to balance it and get his scoring. Also, he's just pushing to that responsibility right now. He has no choice. They have no choice. So it's working out. They're 7-2. But ideally, I thought he would be best as a scoring punch coming off the bench, but at times also running the offense and learning that. And then year three, maybe he would be a starter somehow, somewhere.
Wow. You know, I actually saw him more so as a point. You know, from what I saw from his Kentucky, you're right. I did see him that. But I thought he was trying to transition and, you know, and in all actuality, man, I think Ben kind of stunted that growth into him being a point guard, even going into this year. But, man, you're right, man. I mean, I can't see him as that guy can come off, you know, maybe a sixth man. I mean, he could be that guy that we've seen from, you know, from what's the guy that used to be play with the Clippers, won sixth man of the year all those years?
Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford. I can see him as a Jamal Crawford, wouldn't you say?
That's not a bad one, but I actually and Jamal started for a lot of years, but he eventually settled into that role where he was really, really good, great, if you will, as a sixth man. So I do think Maxey is a starter, and sooner rather than later. And listen, he might never give this one up. So early on in his career, early on in his career, I think that if he does things the right way this year, Tyrese Maxey is going to be a starter for a long time in the league. He'll figure out that balance. And so far, he's only averaging like 4.3 assists a game, but everybody's sharing the basketball. So I don't expect his number to be super high. But he's doing pretty well right now.
Well, if it's not broke, don't fix it, man.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Not broke, don't fix it. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Talk some Birds, but we always got to mix in the Sixers. The Simmons thing, do you think the latest news, do you feel like the Sixers are handling now properly with finding him again now that he is refusing to participate in any basketball-related stuff at practice and not allowing the team physicians to help him with his mental health issues?
Well, no question about that. You know, even, you know, you have to at least get him doctor's notes or something, man. You know, it's not say he's like in school or anything, but you still have a responsibility to your team and your organization to at least figure out what's going on and how they can help you. I mean, even if it's not helping you, it's helping you. You still have to give them a chance, especially with the amount of money that he's been making, to, you know, be involved in what's going on. I mean, at the end of the day, you're getting paid a service. You're not doing anything in that service. So you got to give them a responsible reason why you're not, you know, doing this service. So, you know, for him to think that, you know, anything other than, you know, at least, you know, check in or whatever, man, it's crazy for him to think that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to say this. It's not like I hope that it's mental issues, because that's a very serious topic. That's very serious, you know, and, you know, I believe that guys I played with, you know, back in the day, mm-hmm. you know, had to go through the same thing. We were just different in the aspect that, you know, it was almost taboo to talk about it. So we didn't talk about it. And, you know, a lot of the times they would feel as though it was like you were weak if you said anything about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, they would cut you. But I like the fact now you can be open about it, and you can talk to people about it, and they'll give you help and point you in the right direction to give you help with that whole situation. But if that's not the situation, man, you know, Lord guard his soul, man, because you can't do that, man, to the organization. You can't do it to your, you know, to your family. You can't do it to your teammates, man. It's wrong to do that. It's wrong to go about, you know, trying to, you know, put yourself in that position to think that you can act like that towards your, you know, your teammates and your family.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. Definitely a tough situation. But, hey, right now, so far, as far as the team goes, so far, so good, despite missing him and four other players because of COVID protocols or injuries, whatever it is. But let's get to the Birds, man. They thumped the Lions last week, 44-6. I didn't see it coming. I actually thought they would lose that game. What do I know? And they look pretty good by running the football, Barrett Brooks. Offensive lineman, you like to lean on big guys across from you and, you know, you impose your will on them and get things going. They have not done it all season. We've asked for it. Why the change last week? Was it simply just the opponent or Nick Sirianni understanding that he needed to change his offensive approach?
Man, it's pressure, man. Pressure. Pressure bursts pipes. You know, when you got your offensive line not being in a position where, you know, I really don't think, you know, in all actuality that, you know, that left side was really, you know, left tackle was really healthy. You know, Jordan Mailata was in a position where I didn't think that he was, you know, going at full go. I think his knee was bothering a little bit. So why put your, you know, a guy like that in a bad position, have him pass blocking all the time when you can, you know, have him come off the ball? I mean, just put two and two together. I mean, you know, two and two equals four. The laws of physics. Let's look at that. Big guys going downhill and hitting little guys. I mean, that's what you want. You're talking about 385 pounds of mass at 6'8" coming off the rock going forward instead of backwards. And then you look at the guard position. You got a guy at 6'6", 350, coming off the rock. I mean, that's a lot of mass. That's over 700 and some pounds going in one direction. It's going to be hard for any defense or the defender to stop that type of mass going through. And then you have your little running back like Boston Scott or whoever you have running in behind those guys. That's a great mixture, man. You know, that's you know, a movable object coming off the ball. That's what you need. That's what you want. And then when the guys come off the sideline, Lane Johnson, Kelsey, hey, we got to take advantage of this. We got to run the ball. And he listened. That's what you want. You want to be able to go out there and impose your will, and that's exactly what they did. Hence, that's why they won the game in such a convincing fashion. Now, the question is, are we going to go into tomorrow on Sunday's game and do the same thing? Right. I don't expect 40 runs to 16 runs, but I do expect a nice little healthy mixture, at least 50%. At the least.
Well, B, now we get the news that the starting cornerbacks for Los Angeles are out in the game. They will not be available. So with that, I would believe that Nick Sirianni now is just drooling at the opportunity to throw the football, or at least try to throw the football all over the field. So the game plan, what you just laid out, what it should be, the question is, will he do it? You just said pressure brush pipe, so will he do it?
I think he will. I think he will, you know, and I know guys don't look at me wrong in my analysis when I say this, dog. But Jalen Reagor coming back gives me a little hope. You know what I'm saying? He got hurt. But I saw them opening up the offense and really put him in a position to succeed. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's masterful when he gets the ball in his hands. But it's just getting the ball in his hands from a passing perspective. I don't think that's a strong suit. You know, he's not a guy that can go out there, throw the bomb to, throw these crossing routes to. He's got to have stuff that's quick, gets on him fast, you know, slant routes, screens, you know, these jet sweeps that they had, or even reverses. That's when you can use his skill set and his talent, and he can give you a lot from from his athleticism, you know, getting around the corner, beating guys to their spots, you know, run. That mean his run after the catch is what makes him a really good player. We just haven't been able to put him in that position. You put him in that position this last game, and he showed you a lot. Why not do it again? You got Deebo Samuels. They do that to him all the time. Put him in position to get the ball. That's what you want. Make him that versatile guy, you know, Cordell Patterson. That's the type of guy that he is. I mean, even if you line him up at the running back position or run like an option play with him, those are all things that you can use Jalen Reagor and make him successful. And then you just run behind that offensive line, you know, with whoever you have back there. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you're running the ball and you give that defense, you know, a chance to, all right, look, you got to respect the run and the pass. You have to do it. Because I don't want Joey Bosa in my backfield all day. You know, that could be a problem if you allowed him to, you know, dictate the tempo and really put him in a position where you have to pass the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard when you have to, you know, block those guys like that. So, you know, put him in a better position.
Gotcha. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, B, evaluating the offense there, Jalen Hurts through these games. Right now, the Birds sitting at 3-5. After 8 weeks, man, what is your take? Do you have a better answer on what his future in this league might be, and especially with the Birds?
You know what? He still has a lot, you know, a lot that he can offer this team. You know, I mean, he's got, you know, a lot that can hurt this team. You know, his pre-snap, he's got to get his pre-snap reads better. He's got to see where they're blitzing from, see where they're coming from a lot better. But, you know, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. His ability to go out there and improvise is a real strength. You know, I mean, you're talking about a guy that later on in the game, you want to win a game, he can do that for you. He's that kind of type of player. But when you want a long, consistent drive, you don't want him just sitting back and having to go to his third and fourth read. The only way I would have him doing that is if we could run a little play action, because now the pressure's off him as far as the pass rush. You're making that defense respect the run. That, you know, that little microsecond that he gets from them, you know, transition from run to pass, pass rushing, really helps a young quarterback out a lot. And that's the only thing. He's just a young quarterback that's put in a position that he has too much responsibility going into these games, man. We're talking about a guy that's 75 to 80% of the offense runs through him. You got to give the ability to hand the ball off like he did this last week. And I bet you he can become a better player even with, you know, with what's going on this year and how this team looks. This team is a lot better than what their record is, but they're also right where they are supposed to be with their record is. You know, they lost to the team they should have lost to, but they are good enough to beat those teams, you know, on any given Sunday, just like that 49er team. They should have beat that team. But those are the losses that they lost because they should have lost them. But there are some wins they should pick up because they should win. And that was like last week.
Okay. Final one, B, before we let you go. The defense. We saw it differently last week against the Lions as well, only giving up to 6 points. Not something that we look at the Lions and say, oh my goodness, you're really scared of them, even though I thought they would lose to that team. We saw a lot where Gannon would have his safeties deep back, and, you know, we talk about the cover two and all that stuff all the time. Will he decide to change it again and go back to what he's been doing, or go to what worked last week, and you have a much better offensive team on the other side with all the weapons that Justin Herbert has at his disposal? So what do you think they need to do defensively? Will they go back to the old style that got him in trouble before, or will they incorporate what we saw last week?
I think he found a nice little mix of linebackers, which helped out his play calling.
Interesting.
You know, he was more free to blitz a lot more because he has more aggressive linebackers. If you see, T.J. Edwards really changed how that defense was run because of his aggressiveness. You know, he wants to run a gap-sound defense. Well, he couldn't do it with the guys that he had. Like Wilson. Wilson would not even take a step when the play started and would stay a linebacker depth and not run down and plug his gap, which left those two defensive tackles in a bad, you know, position, because now your defensive linemen get double teamed and triple teamed because they're not responsible to get off to the linebackers. The linebackers stayed so deep, they would just drive those guys back. T.J. Edwards kind of activated that gap control type of defense, because once he saw the double team, he came downhill, shot the gap, and then Davion Taylor was like, whoa. Dude, that works? Oh, let me do it too. So Davion Taylor started doing it. And when they started that up, they became a more gap-sound defense. And then he started trusting, sending those guys on blitzes. See, once he started calling a more aggressive game, then the defense got more aggressive. And that's what you need, man. If you can get an aggressive play, you know, as a team and the players that you have, you take on the identity of the coach.
Right.
You know, when I was with Philly, I had Ray Rose. I took the identity of Ray Rose. His teams were aggressive teams, smash mouth type of teams. We were going to run the rock. You know, we didn't care what you put in front of us. And our defense was smash mouth. That's what you do. Well, with the Steelers, same way. You know, aggressive play calling on the run side. As far as, you know, us running the rock, we had Bussy back there. That's what you did on defense. You know, they called a very defensive, gap sound defense, but we also ran a lot of zone blitz and, you know, with blitz and lighting everybody up. That's what you want, man. Because you had an aggressive-minded coach coaching you, you tend to take on that type of, you know, genre with you. You know, you're an aggressive team then. Until Gannon started being more aggressive with play calling, they didn't play aggressive. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he takes this and goes forward with that aggressive play caller because those guys become more activated. You'll see the guys on the outside start, you know, playing up a little closer also. We need that, man. We need that Philadelphia football. That's that aggressive football we used to look at.
All right. Well, listen, man, we'll allow you to give your predictions on your pregame show on Sunday with the guys, so we won't put you on the spot here. But listen, man, we thank you for stepping in. Maybe I'll bother you again soon as the season goes along, get you on like we had last season. Are you doing any college football this weekend?
You know what? I don't have any this weekend, but next week I'm doing MAC action, baby. I'm on Wednesday, man.
Oh.
Wednesday I got Kent State at Central Michigan. So I'll be in Mount Pleasant, Michigan on Wednesday night calling at 8 o'clock, man. So watch a little MAC football, bro.
I'll turn it on while I'm doing the Sixers stuff here. No, actually, the Sixers are off Wednesday. I got you covered.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Got you covered.
Check your boy out, man.
Got it, man. B, thanks so much, man, as always. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great weekend.
Take it easy, folks.
All right, you got it. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And when we are joined on the Comcast Business Hotline, Comcast Business every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. All right, we'll come right back. We got Brian waiting, Chris waiting. Others, we have open lines for the first time in a bit. If you want to step in, 610-632-0975. We appreciate Barrett coming in, talking a little shop with us. We'll get to you when we get back, 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon is producing. I'm Devon Givens with you on this Football Friday. That is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Back in a second, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. We appreciate everybody hanging on during the conversation with Barrett Brooks, and we thank Barrett for taking some time on this Friday night to hang out with us and talk a little shop, Sixers and Eagles. Of course, my guy, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Barrett Brooks. Dylan McKinnon is here, 610-632-0975. Our side topic, we were talking about Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Of course, he and Marty McFly and the whole deal with Back to the Future. And 1955, in November 5th, 1955, he found out that he discovered time travel. And we were talking about, since this is November 5th, and there was something that you could go back to and maybe, you know, change something, go back to that way and help things out, good or bad, or just change it in general, what was it? What would it be? And we had one earlier from Mikey on here. M. Rotendo says, this one's easy. Kawhi shot misses is the number one answer. Dylan just did like a deep sigh and then shook his head, missing that shot. Game seven, along the baseline, the number of bounces that it took, the fact that he traveled twice and they didn't call it because they were scared. They swallowed their whistle. As soon as he caught the ball, he traveled. It was like, wait a second, you got to call that. But Mikey says Kawhi shot misses. Number one answer, go back in time. Use that DeLorean that Dave from Center City had and go back and change things right there. Right there. There was always a debate. Did Ben Simmons play good enough defense on Kawhi Leonard on that play? I didn't blame Ben Simmons as much as everybody else. First, they should have called the travel. All right, the game is still going on. You got to do your job. Joel Embiid came up and blitzed Kawhi Leonard. And when he blitzed, he cut Ben Simmons' pathway off. And he kind of, you know, he couldn't step for step with him anymore. Now, Embiid contested it. And that was a hell of a contest that Embiid put out there on Kawhi on that shot. But if you look at it or remember it, however you remember it, just remember that Embiid, when he blitzed it to cut it off where he was going, because his man was trying to set a pick. I think it was Marc Gasol trying to set a pick, and Embiid jumped it. And Kawhi wasn't passing the ball. Kawhi does not pass the ball. He blitzed it. Now he was basically the primary defender, and Simmons was the secondary chasing him. And that's how it happened. So he would go back, Mikey would, and change that where you go into overtime. Go into overtime, see what happens in that game against the Toronto Raptors. That's a great one. We want yours as well, something you would go back in time and change. Remember, nothing too personal where you don't want to meet somebody again and all that. Just change the trajectory of anything. Missing a concert, and we had one too. Let me see. I think it was 360, yeah. 360 VI, virtual images, says, caught smoking in the bathroom in high school, grounded, and missed the Pink Floyd show at the Vet, the concert at the Vet, shaking my head. See? Going back, that one puff, gone, done. Now you can't go to the concert. 360, virtual images, 360 VI on Twitter. We appreciate that. See? Just go back and change it. Don't have that cigarette there. I'm sure you might have had it at the concert, but not there. Not in the bathroom where you're suspended or grounded. All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. How did the Birds win? What happens? Do they get this one done this weekend against the Chargers? We just talked to Barrett. Now we talked to Brian at Plymouth Meeting on this Friday night. What's up, B?
Yo, always a pleasure to listen to Barrett. The first good offensive lineman the Eagles drafted in my lifetime.
Ah, yes. Second round pick, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, very solid. Drafted as a tackle, became a very good guard.
Yep, won a Super Bowl.
Sadly, I was 20 when we drafted him, so or maybe not that old. It's like 95 or something.
He's the best,
and
man.
And you're expecting that travel call. That's your worst take of all time, Devon.
I said he traveled.
No, I know. We've talked about
this. Yeah, he traveled. So, I didn't think they would do it.
I mean, it's the NBA, and in that spot in the game. That's something somebody from the greatest generation says that's talking about crisp chest passes.
oh, man. But when you think about that, you look at it like, yo, this dude just straight up traveled right away.
But you did note, I mean, the thing is, the game goes to overtime. To me, the what if is, what if Embiid doesn't get sick before game four?
Yeah.
And then it's over, like, series is over in six.
Yeah. Yep. And he played. He just hadn't, even when he was sick, he played. He just didn't play well.
Oh, he just didn't play the way he normally would play.
Yep.
And, you know, if you remember, what's-his-face was suspended for that game for tripping Embiid in the prior. Like, we should have won that Sunday game.
That year was the year, and last year was the year. So between 18 and last year's 2021 team, those were the two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, assuming everything goes the same way, which unfortunately with Durant getting hurt and whatnot, but that, you know, the Warriors ended up being a shell of themselves. You don't know that. You don't know that that's going to happen if the Sixers make it there. I mean, but yeah. You know, well, anyway, you know what? A happy life is one lived without regret. So, so quickly on the Eagles. I also love Barrett bringing up the linebacker angle, but also, I mean, what I would expect is if they play aggressively, then they're very susceptible to Justin Herbert throwing a couple 80-yard touchdowns, and then we could lose quick. Or I really expect them to go back to the bend but don't break, which everyone's going to freak out about. But and that's not the way I want to see defense played either. But I get why he's doing that against these good teams. He's trying to just extend stuff, live to fight another day. You never know, somebody could fumble, whatever. They're trying to not get beat quick with limited personnel. But you know, maybe with the linebacking changes, that they will be more comfortable playing aggressively, and we'll see how that goes. But I expect us to lose either way. But
I do too.
You know, if they're bringing pressure, expect a lot of long touchdown passes. If they're not, then expect what we've seen against other good teams, where there's 15 play drives. And
I just think back to, and look, we've learned that the Chiefs are not very good this season, but the offense is what the offense is, where they can put up points. And all I think about is, while you're not looking to take Jared Cook out of this game, you still do have some tremendous weapons right there with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen on the outside, Austin Ekeler doing what he does. And I just get that sense all over again that it's going to be not necessarily Tyreek Hill-like, but they will have success like Kansas City did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Chiefs could have run the ball every play of that game and gotten 8 yards a carry, but yep, it's Andy Reid, so he's not going to do that.
Right.
But, I mean, they never needed to throw a single pass in that game. But Edwards-Helaire was getting 8 yards a carry, like, untouched into the second level.
He had, like, 14 or 17 carries, but he had 115 yards on those little carries.
I mean, you know, we were paying attention while Andy Reid was here. You know what? We know what Andy's about. He's not about running the ball. My most frustrating fantasy season of all time is when I took, I'm forgetting a lot of names tonight. The best back in the league that Andy had in the his first few years as the Chiefs.
Priest Holmes?
No, he didn't
have Priest Holmes. He had,
But, I mean, I took him because I knew he was awesome, and then I was, like, halfway through the first game, because I would watch all the games and whatever, and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I've drafted an Andy Reid running back, and I'm going to be sitting here like I was for 16 years as an Eagles fan, like, run the ball.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's been a long week. We're both having some mental recall issues.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Now you have me thinking about that name. But give us a final score, man.
Chargers. All right, I'll give a real one this week. Chargers 31, Eagles 17.
31-17 Chargers. All right, got it. Oh, you have a flashback for it? A little go back in time with Doc Brown and all?
Well, I mean, I already gave the one with Embiid not getting the flu.
Oh, so just still take that one. Okay. All right, you got it, man. Thank you, B. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right, thanks, man. Yeah, man. Wow. Dylan, see if you can find out who was the first running back for Andy Reid when he was with the Chiefs those early years of success. Who was that? Yeah, Brian has his thinking on that one, being Plymouth Media. All right, you do that one. I'll talk to Chris in Overbrook here next on The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. It's been a long time, man.
Glad to hear you from you again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just wanted to talk to you, see if you would trade Ben Simmons for Jaylen Brown.
Oh, you know what? I probably would. Because you get the scoring, you get the shot creation. Yes, I would. Yeah.
I think they would probably do that trade, too.
I don't know. Yes, he will pass, so that's not an issue. Marcus Smart won't complain about that. He will pass the ball.
Right,
he won't be selfish, and there will be one less player looking for a shot like Brown does, so Tatum and Smart can jump in there and help Tatum out because he believes he should be in there helping them out. Jamal Charles is the name. Thank you, Dylan, and Alfie from Abington just jumped in as well. Jamal Charles. Brian and Plymouth meeting. Right. So there you go. Jamal right. Charles right. is the right. answer. Yep. He was a great back too. I would.
All right. You know what? You hear about Kevin Garnett's new movie putting out?
Nah, I don't really look for a lot of stuff Kevin Garnett does because I'm not a fan. But
he's making a documentary about Will Chamberlain.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so they're finally putting one out. And it really cracks me up. People say that Shaq would have dominated. Well, listen, Will Chamberlain would have treated Shaq like he was a feather pillow, like he wasn't even there. He would have straight up destroyed Shaq. Look at this video on YouTube. It's Will Chamberlain shakes Shaquille O'Neal's hand. And you know when you shake your nephew's hand, you shake it real hard and his whole body vibrates?
Uh-huh.
It was one of them. Yeah, he did that to Shaq in his prime. He was the strongest human being to ever live. Will Chamberlain, his numbers, if you average all the numbers and all the games he went against Bill Russell, he averaged 30 points, 29 rebounds, and 3 assists against Bill Russell. He would have destroyed Shaq. Will Chamberlain could grab a nickel off the top of the backboard. He was the greatest athlete to ever live.
That was tough because, of course, it's a different era. But listen, man, we know how great Wilt was. Do we know because we saw it? No, we just, from word of mouth of what he was, we know how good of a great of a player he was. I'd imagine Sonny Hill will be involved in that because you have to. And Kevin Garnett will not be asking me any questions, Chris, because I'm not a fan. So there you go. He won't be asking me any questions. Listen, man, got to ask you this, though, Chris. Ben Simmons, do you feel like the Sixers are doing the right thing here?
What, with trading him?
With how they're handling and now finding him again.
That's all him. He's a grown man. I mean, there's only so much you can do as a team. You know what I mean? If he wants to act like that, what can you possibly do? You know what I mean? We're giving him every chance that we can give him, and he still wants to act the way that he's acting right now. All right, well then, fine. We're going to have to trade you then. We're giving you all these chances. We're even welcoming you back on the team, and you still in practice with the cell phone. All right, if you want to play that's fine. We're just going to have to trade you then. If you do good somewhere else, so be it. But we're just going to have to get somebody in here for you.
I got you. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you do the same.
Thanks, man. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I won't be a part of that documentary that Garnett is putting together. He'll listen to the Fanatic when he's in town, or his people will, and they'll know that I'm not a fan of Kevin Garnett. So good luck with the project. Good luck with the project. Yeah, there's that. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Football Friday. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving on the phones. A lot of people to catch up with. We do have a couple open phone lines. First time in a bit, if you want to check in, 610-632-0975. Mark and Conchie with us here tonight on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Devon, happy Friday to you and the crew.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
So, Devon, are you a big fan of the movie Christmas Vacation?
I am, yes.
So the Ben Simmons situation reminds me of that, where Ben is the talk show equivalent of the Jelly of the Month Club. When Clark gets the Jelly of the Month Club membership for his Christmas bonus, and Cousin Eddie says, Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year round.
Yeah, here's the thing with that, and you're absolutely right, by the way. I don't want to talk about him again. I just have to. I'd rather talk about the team being 7-2. I prefer to do that. I don't want to talk about him again. But when the news comes out, right, we wouldn't be doing our job if we don't mention it. And as soon as you mention it,
yeah, absolutely.
Mark, the gift keeps on giving because people will call in and talk about him.
And I'm one of them. So I think, I'm really happy with the way the Sixers are handling it. Honestly, I wouldn't do a thing different than what Morey and the organization is doing. And I loved his interview with Missinelli about a week or so ago. I think it was very obvious from the start that Ben was coming in here and his plan was to act a fool, get set home, and get paid. And they called his bluff. They called his bluff. It's not a coincidence that he ended up doing something to get himself sent home an hour before he was, after a week. He was here for a week, and then an hour before he was set to talk to the media, he got himself sent home. And I think two things are clear and one thing's a little bit unclear. The two things, first thing that's clear is, one, Ben absolutely does not want to step in front of the fans or the media here. And the second is that he absolutely doesn't not want to get paid. what's unclear to me is which is more important to him. And a lot of people would look at it and say, well, of course, the $35 million is important. But the way he's acting, I don't know. I don't know. He may end up, whatever the answer to that question is going to set the direction for how things go. But he may end up just saying, screw it, I'm not going to, don't pay me, but I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, and I asked the question, not really asking the question, because no one can answer it, but I just wonder if he loves basketball, you know, at this point. I wonder if he loves the game. And we will never know that answer. We'll always get the, of course, he loves it. I wonder if he loves it, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if he loves it. People would maybe start to go in a direction of, well, he loves the celebrity part of it and all of that. I don't doubt that. I think he does love the celebrity. He doesn't like the backlash that comes his way, the negative stuff, but does he love the game? Does he love the game?
I don't know.
And I don't know that answer. I don't know that answer. So with that, just like what we saw and witnessed from the playoffs, you know, I don't trust him any longer to be out there on the floor, which is why he can't play for this team anymore. But then
4-on-5.
Now you're looking at these other teams that they want to lay their eyes on him before they make a move.
And that's
the right way for those teams to do.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I listen to Mike a lot, and he's of the opinion the best thing for him to do is not come back. But I think the best thing for the organization is for him to come back, because what GM is going to stick their neck out on a limb for 4 years with this guy? And when he's acting a fool like this, I think he has to come back to get some value. I was hoping for Lillard, but I really think that's a pipe dream. And even if we do have a shot at Lillard, then I think it's Maxey and Thybulle have to go along, and that sets us back a year because Morey has to replenish the bench at that point. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Who's going to
call the bluff first, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, none of us do, man. None of us do. Mark, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Can I give you a flashback?
I was about to ask you, did you have a flashback?
I do. If I had a chance, if I had a do-over to do, what I would do is I would sneak into Harold Katz's house on draft day 1986,
ooh,
turn his alarm clock off so he never got up, and was able to trade away the first number one overall pick, Moses Malone, and 2 first-round picks in the same day for Roy Hinson, Jeff Roland, and Cliff Robinson.
For Brad Daugherty.
That set us back big time.
For Brad Daugherty. Mark, that's a great one, man. The fact that he felt like working him out in his driveway and making a decision there was the right thing to do just blows my mind.
I don't know.
Ah, Mark, that's a great one, man. Brad Daugherty, thank you so much, man. Enjoy the weekend, Mark. Always great to catch up. Really appreciate it. Brad Daugherty, one of the Cavs' all-time greats. And as Mark just mentioned, making that trade and you get back Roy Hinson, Jeff Rulin, moving Moses Malone, all that stuff. My goodness. But see, going back in time where you can change that. And Mark just changed it. Brad Daugherty with Charles Barkley. I think Barkley sticks around for a while. Have some success. Man, 610-632-0975. All right, quick break. Graham, you will start us off when we get back. Ernest as well and others, 610-632-0975. Eagles, how do they win? What happens this Sunday against the Chargers? How do they get it done? I'm not as optimistic as others, but you are. Tell me why. Tell me how they get this one done. And the Simmons part where the Sixers are finding him again. He missed yesterday's game. He's not participating in anything. No team-related, basketball-related obligations. He's not doing that. He's not speaking to the team physicians on his mental health status and where things are. Therefore, the Sixers said, you know what? We will fine you again and $360,000 lighter because he missed Thursday's game. He will miss tomorrow's game. That will be another $360,000, so that'll put him in that $720,000 range for 2 games. How long would this go? Well, the money goes into the escrow account again. How long will he sit there and allow this to happen until he does what the team simply asked of him? Weightlifting sessions, video film sessions with the team, being at practice. I don't have a problem with what they did. They were well within their right to do so. What about you? Do you guys think so? Let's chat. 9 o'clock hour upcoming. And then we got a little fine line in the 10 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975 for us. We'll talk to you when we get back. Graham, Earn, everybody, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
901 on this football Friday, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Programming note, tonight, following us, don't forget to join Joe Wiz for the Fine Line starting at 10 o'clock. So Joe Wiz and the Fine Line next on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you're not getting away from us so quickly. We're still here. We're with you until then, 610-632-0975 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope to speak with you or you're just listening, and we appreciate it. Talking about the Birds and how they get this one done this weekend, I am not as confident as many other people are, but I'm not trying to, you know, dump on anything that you're saying. I just want to know why you believe that they'll win. You're optimistic. Why are you so optimistic? Why do they get it done? How do they get it done? Because I am not there. I'm not there. I've been that way all season long, so I haven't picked them to win just yet, and I'm not going to pick them to win this weekend either. So let's talk about it. 610-632-0975. We want you to go back in time. 1955, November 5th, is when Doc Brown discovered time travel and Back to the Future. So we want you to go back in time and change something. Something you would go back and change. Like I said, nothing too serious. We don't want to do that. We're just having some fun here. We don't want you to go and not meet a person in your life because they've ruined your life. We're just asking to give us something. Sports, music, entertainment, I don't know. Maybe you could have had an opportunity to be in a movie and you missed out on it. I don't know. Whatever it is. We just, you know, let's have some fun with it, all right? All right. 610-632-0975. Mark said, Big Slim, OA says, Embiid cut 25 off and Kawhi walked. Bleep, 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 bleep. Devon, exactly when I wanted the big guy traded. Well, at least you agree that we agree that we're on the same spot there. Definitely. He cut him off. May not have changed things, but he did cut him off and they weren't going to call that travel. I did not want to trade the big guy. Still want him around. And I think he's... Right now, he doesn't look right, though, does he? Doesn't look right. It's not himself. It's the knee, whatever it is. Doesn't look right. Doesn't look right. The only game where he's been himself, the first Pistons game, 30-18, he had that 8 days ago back here in Philadelphia, starting off the four-game trip that they eventually swept. He has not been himself just yet. Not just yet. Not just yet. All right, DJ The Show, he says this, going back in time. Missed or really did not go to the casting for the movie Taps, filmed at the Valley Forge Military Academy. We had a makeup lacrosse game that day. Could have been Tom Cruise. DJ, well, look, you still are DJ The Show, doing a great job with everything since then. But yeah, it would have been nice to see you turn into that Tom Cruise guy. Would have been nice. Would have been nice. Go back. Go back in time. Tom Cruise. That would have been great. DJ The Show. I like that one. That's a good one. So we had getting caught smoking in the bathroom by 360 VI, the virtual images. Missed the Pink Floyd show at the vet because he was grounded. Now we got a Tom Cruise that could have been. But had a makeup lacrosse game. Was it the weather? How about Mother Nature would have helped out? Wouldn't that have been great, DJ The Show? Whatever it was. Mother Nature help out so you can get there? I don't know. But you still have time. You can start late. Go be a model or something. You can still make good money there. 610-632-0975. Dylan has to give us his as well. But let's go to Graham in South Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Graham?
Yo, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Hey, if I had to go back, I would have done Tatum, Markel Fultz. I would have traded that in a minute.
Yeah, so...
The fact that we traded for Markel Fultz is that's my go back moment.
Yeah, so here's the thing with the Markel Fultz thing. Remember, the trade happens from 3-1. And a lot of people are like, and I even hear some of my friends and the colleagues and all say, that was never available. It was available. You just would have made maybe Danny Ainge mad, some of the other general managers mad, that they might not have done some work with you later on as far as, you know, things go. But that's business, right? That's business. It happens that way sometimes. It happens that way. So maybe not. Maybe they wouldn't have done business with you. But guess what? If you identified the guy that you wanted and he was it, you go get him.
100%.
Go get him.
My thing is, I want to talk about Simmons for a minute, if it's all right with you. I know you've been talking NFL for a little bit tonight.
No. Go for it. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I would love to talk about Simmons. So I make no excuses for Simmons. You know, I think he's a cool guy. I think he's trying to look cooler than he is. But at the same time, mental health is a real thing. So you have to give him his due, and you have to give him, you know, some appreciation from the fan base to be able to get through that. But at the same time, there's, you know, he works at a company that is a, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. And so the Sixers, when you're talking about Daryl Morey, he didn't take care of what was supposed to happen when he had a terrible game when everyone knew it was going to happen, right? Like, Ben Simmons, he had 5 terrible games in a row, and then when he had his 6th terrible game in a row, he didn't talk to the coach, he didn't talk to Embiid, he didn't huddle them in and say, hey, we're going to ride with you guys and just keep it quiet in the press. I feel like he didn't do what we hired him to do. And so my beef is with Daryl Morey, not to have a contingency plan on everyone in the fan base knew what was going to happen.
Which was, at this point, where it has gotten?
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not blaming Daryl Morey. I think he's done an okay job. And look, handling it the way that he's handling it right now, again, you don't have to like what he's done. You don't have to agree with how he's going about it. I personally don't have a problem with what he's done thus far. I really don't. So I'm not putting anything on him right now. Maybe he asked for too much, but he has to start somewhere, and he has a better sense of what the league wants to give up for Simmons than we do. So I really don't have a problem with what he's done.
Yeah, I just feel like he got to...
Oh, man, you dropped off. Well, look, we appreciate the phone call. I don't have a problem with what he's done. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to apologize for that. I don't have an issue with how Morey has handled things. I don't. 610-632-0975. We go to West Philly. Check in with Earn here tonight on the Fanatic. What's up, Earn?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you? What's happening?
I'm all right.
Good?
Yeah, I'm all right. But I kind of agree with you on the Ben Simmons thing. But what people are not saying is, if you go back in time, when he was at LSU, he refused to play with the team because he said they wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't hold that against him because I thought going into the league that it wouldn't be a problem. None of this stuff would rear its ugly head again, where it would prevent them from being the successful team. People grow when they get in this business and change some of the ways that they have. Unfortunately, it looks like that has not helped. My opinion.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel as though that he showed his selfishness there, and now it lingered on, and now he's in the NBA where the money talks, and he's really just hurting himself. He's not hurting me. I think he feels as though he's hurting the Sixers and the Sixers need him. But he fails to realize there's nobody else out there who's going to want him because they're afraid of what they're going to get because of the way he acts in the air.
Well, yeah, they just don't know yet. They don't have an idea. So the unknown of it, why do something like that when you are unclear of what you're getting back in return? Sure.
That's true. Well, my throwback was, I'm piggybacking off what the other guy said. When they made that Brad Daugherty trade, if they would have kept him that year in the playoffs, I mean, in the All-Star game, the front court was Brad Daugherty, Moses Malone, and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, now, I don't know how it would have all played out, those three together on the Sixers at the same time.
Oh, come on. We would have won some of those chips between the Lakers and Boston.
You think all three of them would have, you think Moses would have been around? How would you have played Moses, Brad Daugherty, and Charles?
Now, before Moses was traded, Brad Daugherty was already coming here.
No, I'm saying, so how would you have used them? Because Brad Daugherty eventually was a center, and Moses was a center. Chuck was a power forward.
Right.
So how would you have had them on the floor at the same time? Somebody was coming off the bench.
Well, but no, you could have tested to see if Moses could play a little bit of the four. Or either a Brad Daugherty.
Probably Daugherty, but then you're talking about Charles at that time being more of a three than a four. Right?
Yeah, but they did it in the All-Star game.
Well, that was an All-Star game.
Yeah, but I'm saying. But could you imagine if we
it's had exhibition. Oh, no, it was a mistake. It was the wrong thing. I'm 100% with you on board there. I'm just saying, as far as the actual season goes, 86-87... Do they play on the floor at the same time? How do you get that done? Somebody has to come off the bench.
Well, I mean, it would have been a good situation to try.
It would have been a good problem to have. I hear you.
That's right. I mean, we might have had some chips.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah, even if you moved on from Moses at that point, but it was Daugherty and Charles, and you eventually traded Moses for something else that worked out for the team, it would have been fine. But, man, the fact that Harold Katz did that was so stupid.
I'm telling you. Oh, man. And you know what? I think we've been cursed ever since because we haven't won another chip since.
You might be right, man. Thanks for the call, Earn. And Charles talks about it. He keeps – and whenever he's one with Mike, he's saying the one thing that really messed – if Brad Daugherty, if they would have got him Brad Daugherty, things would have been different. Yep. So, absolutely. Earn, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
You got it, man. I'm going to say this about a friend of mine who reaches out on the text board. I won't say his name, but a Giants fan. And he says, one thing I will go back, 2010. And he would do it again. If you talk to Tom Coughlin will tell you, at least based on the video that we saw after DeSean Jackson ran that back. Tom Coughlin was all over Matt Dodge. Didn't I tell you? Come here. Didn't I tell you not to punt to that man? The rest is history. Right? The rest is history. Miracle in the Meadowlands Part 3. First it was Herm Edwards. Then it was Brian Westbrook. And then DeSean Jackson. Different miracles. Well, two, B. West and DeSean, same thing, but didn't I tell you not to punt to that man? Didn't I tell you to angle punt that out of bounds? Well, coach, it did bounce in front of him. Well, my friend, we will take it. That was fun. It's an all-time highlight. We will take it. 610-632-0975. John and Brimar are with us here as we go until 10 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
Oh, love John, I'm doing well. Thank you, man.
Excellent. Yeah, I got to talk about Ben Simmons. I love it. I mean, when Daryl Morey said that they were going to dig in, they don't care if it takes 4 years. See, the problem with the NBA is that, you know, when you have guys that make certain amounts of money and you have to match up the contract, that's the biggest problem here because it's like, okay, we'll just get rid of them. Get rid of them for anything. Doesn't matter. Well, that's great, but what if you're just stuck with terrible contracts for the next 3 years? So I like what they're doing. They're holding the line. And I think it's a good idea. And hopefully one of these stars or some of these players get disgruntled with the way their franchise are heading and they ask out for a trade. I mean, obviously,
every day I pray for Dame to have the epiphany to want to come here. And I think it was fantastic that the fans showed him all the love in the world the other night.
All the love, yeah.
All the love, and he definitely noticed it. So, no, I had no problems with it at all. And listen, I'll be perfectly honest. I know they miss a lot with Simmons' defense and everything else that he brings to the table, but this team is hungry. Some guys are stepping up their game, and I'm loving what I'm seeing. And I still think, even without Ben Simmons, and they don't even get anybody in return for him right now, I still think they can win over 50 games. I mean, obviously a lot's going to depend on Joel and being health, but I like the way that I liked it. Some of the additions, I mean, George Niang has been phenomenal. The center, I can't remember his name. Oh, why is it escaping me?
Andre Drummond?
Andre Drummond, my God. But thank you for clearing that up.
No, no,
so I like where things are headed. And, I mean, even a guy like Furkan, I mean, he's even gotten better defensively, which I thought might be a minor miracle. But I like where things are going. I love the young kids. I love their energy. And, let's just stay pat and just, I would keep Simmons away. You know, even if you had to pay him whatever, I just like where they're headed. And if I'm going to go a little Doc Brown throwback to mom.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to go 2 years NFL draft. Okay, instead of picking Jalen Reagor, we're going with Justin Jefferson. That's to the start. And then in the second round, as much as I love Jalen Hurts as a player and everything else, I was really high on Jeremy Chinn. And if you get those
You and guys, Tyler Zuli both.
And if you get those two guys, Carson Wentz still might be here. Not that I'm a Carson apologist, but who knows? And those two players drastically improve your football team and they'd be exciting players to have in the franchise.
100% correct on that one. Man, two players that would have helped the team, John.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend. You are not kidding. You are not kidding. I hope Tyler didn't hear that. Jeremy Chinn. Lose his mind. Howie Roseman. See? There you go. Messing stuff up. Barrett Brooks on here talking about Jalen Reagor. The only reason we're talking about him is because Howie Roseman drafted him. Had he not drafted him, we wouldn't be talking about him. Ruined it. Just ruined it. All right. We'll move on. Look, I don't dislike Jalen Reagor. I think he talks too much, but is it his fault that he hasn't produced just yet? Not yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But we'll see. He's back this weekend. Nick Sirianni told us. So let's see what he does. Let's see if he actually does something, contributes to this win this weekend by the squad over the visiting Los Angeles Chargers. Jamal in Upper Darby next. Talking to Little Birds with us here. What's up, Maul?
What's up, Dave?
What's going on?
Everything is everything.
Everything is everything. Simmons is still causing trouble. The Birds win a game. Now people are optimistic. What do you think?
I'm always optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember 17-0. Yep.
12-5.
12-5. They go on a run. Okay.
I did have a revelation that I don't really believe in the quarterback.
All right.
Okay. He's disappointing to me.
Yeah, and like I said, look, we're still evaluating. We're still figuring out, but so far, I don't have an answer of yes, he will be the guy going forward. I lean more no than anything, and I already know what Dylan McKinnon is. He's already out.
I don't want to be out. I guess
no, I didn't say you wanted to. You're just evaluating the guy.
I want him to do well. I never seen a quarterback that they didn't give a slap pad in the throat to. Like, I don't understand what I'm seeing. But the defense is so simple. I mean, if you have a corner like Slay, everybody's so worried about them going over top. It's like, well, when you blitz, why not leave him in with whoever he's on? Let's say
Keenan Allen this weekend.
Yeah, so it's Keenan Allen. And you use the other corner and one of your safeties to double Mike Williams. And you go from there. If you make a blitz, then it has to be a quick throw, correct?
And we want them. We want them to trust his corners. You have good corners.
Hey, team.
I know. This is exactly why I haven't picked them yet.
But then when I got on, it was like, I don't even believe my own press clippers. Right?
So it's not really 12-5, but that's okay. That's all right.
No, it's not going to go 12-5.
I know.
Because we don't know what the culture thinks. 1 week against the run. Let's throw 80% of the passes again. It's like, why?
And now you have the situation of their starting corners being out.
So now
he's just going to air the whole thing out.
And it's like, you know what you can do to win, but you just don't do it. So then it makes me feel like I'm stupid for following this team the way that I do. Because it's like, we know what you should do to win, but you want to show off a quarterback who has no arm, limited accuracy, and the willingness to stay in the pocket is at it too.
So give us a score now. Got to give us a score, Maul.
Oh, they're going to win 42-17.
42-17.
I got a flashback for you, too.
All right, give us a Doc Brown moment. What you got?
I guess it's game two, Sixers-Lakers 0-1.
They had that game one.
And it was a run out, and Aaron McKee ran to the corner, and I wish he would have just laid it up because it ended up being a six-point swing. Because he missed a three, then Robert Horry hit a three. Come on, man.
They had that game one, Maul. They had that game one. They had that one won. Then they had game three when Shaq fouled out, but Robert Horry or Brian Shaw, somebody hit a big shot in that game
wasn't
three.
Wasn't it Rick Fox?
Rick Fox then, one of them. Everybody hit big shots.
Oh, well, they was good for that.
Oh, they were great for that.
And but we were supposed to go up 2-0 with no George Lynch.
I know. And then win the game three back here when Shaq fouls out,
God.
Man. Ball.
As you remember, in game one, we was the 2-0 for Destiny's Child halftime show.
Yes, I remember. Hey, man, great catching up. Enjoy the weekend, man.
You too.
All right, you got it, man. 610-632-0975. Brian, Josh, Scott, everybody, hang on. We come right back. Final segment. We take your phone calls on the Birds and how they win, the final score, Sixers and Simmons, as well as we've had a lot of fun. A programming note, tomorrow I'll be on with you following Temple football leading into Sixers basketball starting at 8 o'clock in Chicago, looking for their sixth win in a row, trying to improve to 8-2. So I'll be with you tomorrow following Temple football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pregame show on Sunday. I start at noon. Pregame show underway at 1. Me and D Gunn live from the Gatehouse Bar and Restaurant. That will be, of course, at the Navy Yard. We always have fun there. See our folks, Marina and everybody. So we look forward to that. But coming up, 610-632-0975. Final segment when we return right here on this Football Friday, brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump? Pump expert for your facility? Need a water pump expert for your facility? Well, contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic final segment, 9:32 on this Football Friday. 610-632-0975. We had some pretty cool Doc Brown moments going back. A couple of Brad Daugherty's where Harold Katz screwed that one up. That four, Charles Barkley wanted out sooner rather than hanging on a little bit longer. Even though that was in 86, Charles didn't leave until the early 90s. Still, they might have had a chance with those two and still having Mochique's around, et cetera, and the people that they had in the mix, that would have been fun. But Hal Katz again decided that Brad Daugherty couldn't play in his driveway. So that was the move. Can't play in his driveway, so you can't play on my team. Okay, cool. All right, solid. With, by the way, while he's dressed up in like khakis or something and some slacks. Oh, man, we've had some really weird ones, right? Really weird ones. The Sean Bradley one always gets me. I love, D is my family. That means dad is, you know, we like dad. But I will never understand. 7'6", you can't teach that. Sherrone Wright is not stopping me from taking Chris Webber. It's just not. Just not. Who, Dana Barros, maybe? On that team? Penny Hardaway? Not stopping me from taking Penny Hardaway. No, he is not. Man, you know what? That's my flashback. It's my Doc Brown. I'm going to sit down, me and the coach, also the general manager making the move at the time. I'm sitting down with my man, the great Jim Lynham. I hope this doesn't ruin our relationship because Chris Webber and Penny Hardaway over Sean Bradley every time. Even then, I did not. It was like, oh, you can't mess this up. 7'6", I got it. Understood. But he's not Yao Ming. He's just not. The Sean Bradley thing, it's my moment. I'm going back to that moment. What was that, 92, 93? Let me see. I think that was the 92, 93 draft where, yeah, man, I was so ticked off. There's a couple other ones that people, this is 93, by the way. A few other ones, basketball related, that we always go back to. But that one, Webber and Penny, even if you don't make the trade, I'm taking one of those two. Josh and Manny Young. My man, Josh, what's going on?
Man, Devon, you're digging right there, man.
I had to.
I mean, Christ. You know, the one I always go back to, I can tell you where I was. I was working a second job working Frank's Nursery, and we got Paul Pierce on the board.
That's what I was Paul just Pierce. Talking about. I was waiting for it. Yeah.
I mean, oh, we got Larry Hughes. What are you talking about, man?
Paul Pierce was supposed to go top three that season. And I remember one specifically was Golden State, and they decided not to go. I don't remember. I want to say like Rafe LaFrance or something like
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I think it was.
No, because Rafe LaFrance went to Denver.
He went to Denver.
I can't remember, yeah. But wherever they went in the top three, Paul Pierce was supposed to be a top three pick. And for whatever reason, they've decided that he wasn't good enough. And boom, he falls. And we're like, oh, we're going to get Paul Pierce. You got a good choice. You have a good pool of players to choose from. Larry Hughes, I love that St. Louis. But when Paul Pierce drops, you have to take Paul Pierce.
Come on. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, there's another one. You know, I can tell you, I was out to dinner with J&J dinner. Everyone's sitting there. I'm on my phone. And all of a sudden, boom, we draft Mikal Bridges. And I'm like fist pumping and fired up. And I'm going crazy. And my manager's like, what is going on? Like, we just got Bridges. We just got him. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm getting text messages from my buddy. I'm like, what?
It was actually like 22, 23 minutes later.
I
remember specifically. Yes.
Yeah, I know you got family ties there. Congratulations on getting paid, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, I love what we're doing with Ben Simmons. I think he is galvanized. I said this to my buddy. I think Nick Sirianni is the wrong person. Ben Simmons planted the seed. He planted the seed, okay? He's the fertilizer. That's igniting everything that's going on right now with this team. They're coming together, man. And I love what I'm seeing with Maxi and George and Seth. I mean, you know, and Embiid's struggling a little bit. I think he's still trying to find his way, but these guys they're going at it. I love it. I love what they're doing, Devon. If you can't be excited about watching the Sixers basketball, you know what? Hey, what about your stupid process now? Nothing. You know? Man, let him sit out for 4 years. Okay? Because I don't want to bring anybody else in this team right now. I love what I'm seeing.
Yeah, man. Look, they're playing really good basketball, and we can't talk about, oh, it's just early. Look, it is early, but they are 7-2. They missed four players last night, even though it was Detroit. They still were without four players, two of which were starters. Furkan Korkmaz being a key contributor to the team, and they still go into Detroit and win that game. So that is something that we cannot sneeze at. And this is also while Joel Embiid does not look like himself just yet. So we got to give credit where credit is due. And right now this team looks like they're playing some really good basketball. And maybe they are, as you just pointed out, coming together because of the distraction of what it is and saying, hey, let's go out there and show these people and let's show him a little bit that we know how to win basketball games even when you're not here.
One last question. Do you think what's going on right now, I mean, the owners are looking at this situation and they're saying with the new CBA and everything, hey, man, if we're not having this. Like, I really want, you know, let's erase this contract from the books. Void it out, it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, but the talent that he is, Josh, I still want something back. I got you. I get it. Let's just move on. I want something back because I think you're more of a complete team when whatever does come in return. Even if it's not the star level that Maury was talking about, I'm just simply talking about a good level player that's going to come in and help contribute to the team.
Okay, what type of player do you think we can honestly get for him right now?
I don't know, but there are a ton of wings out there that I still think that could potentially be available by the time December gets here. And I believe that that's what they are missing, a wing that can shoot, score, defend. Maybe just a three-level scorer, not an all-star level player, but a player that can, like Tobias Harris, all-star level based on what you want to talk about him, but a player who can make a difference in the game, and that's the type of player that I think I want in return for Simmons.
Marcus Smart, I think they're about to blow that thing up in Boston. Would you look at Marcus Smart?
I want a better scorer.
Okay, so yeah. Jaylen Brown.
Yes, that would be ideal, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Thanks, Dalon. I love the show.
Hey, Josh, do you have a Doc Brown moment, the flashback?
I talked about.
So you just gonna go with the Pierce one?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right, we'll give it to Paul Pierce one. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
No doubt, man. Thank you, Josh. Have a great weekend. We'll go with the Paul Pierce one, the one that I was waiting for from the callers, Paul Pierce, and we all know what happened there. All right, 610-632-0975. Scott in South Jersey with us next. Scotty,
how you doing, Devon?
Doing well. You?
Doing good.
Good.
I want to talk a little Simmons, little Eagles, but first let's start out with the big man. So obviously he's having a rough start to the year. I'm not going to waste my time stressing about his knee, and if that's the issue, I'm more concerned about how he's starting games right now and what's going on in his head. So it seems like he's starting the game, and he's looking to get a foul call, and when he doesn't get that foul call, he is just going at it again and again, trying to get the foul call. And before you know it, he's shooting 1 of 8 from the field, and he's frustrated by the second quarter.
So he's being affected by the same thing that we talked about with Trae Young, James Harden, liking the fact that they have to deal with this. He's also being affected by it because they're not giving him all the calls that he used to get.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think his solution could be a lot simpler than those guards, though. I think it's purely shot selection for him.
Sure.
So he's trying to get fouled on that first shot, and then it's sort of like, I don't want to say he's being a baby, but it's sort of the mentality of, I'm going to get my foul call, and I'm not going to stop until I get it.
Well, it is bothering him a little bit where you see a play like last night early in the game where he's barking at the officials, and they're running up the floor for a transition basket. Now, he may not stop that transition basket, but it's not helping that they're playing 5-on-4 because his man has run the floor, and Isaiah Stewart can push the break. I mean, push and transition a little bit, not push the ball, but keep up with everybody else because he's light on his feet as a big man, and B's back there complaining, and he's behind the play.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow Joel Embiid for his career, which you have, I mean, you know that that's the type of big that he struggles against. The guy that might be like not 7 foot tall, 6'11", but he's uber athletic, quick foot speed. That's always the guy that Joel Embiid struggles a little bit against. So,
sure.
So no big deal on that. But let's pivot and talk about Ben Simmons a little bit.
Nice.
So I'm not going to pretend like I know what's going on behind closed doors. I'm just going to say a deal that if we had to make one right now, I wouldn't mind Tyrese Haliburton being a big part of a deal that we make.
The only problem, of course, is they say that Haliburton, at least right now, is not available.
So my question to that is why? Because De'Aaron and Haliburton are both point guards, and they sort of have Haliburton playing shooting guard, and it's taken away from his natural game.
Well, yeah, I don't understand anything that Sacramento does. So they're the Sacramento Kings to me, and they do Sacramento Kings things. So to your point, this I guess it kind of surprises me, but not really, because it's like, dude, you guys haven't been a playoff team in years, and you have something in Fox, you have something in Halliburton, but if you want to make a move to improve your basketball team, you cannot close off things and simply say that let's start with Halliburton, not Fox, that he's not available in any package. You can't do that.
Yeah, I agree, man. And the worst part about it is the guy averages about 5 assists a game, and he doesn't even have the ball in his hands most plays. I think it's one of those deals where we would make it and everyone would be like, what the heck are you doing? What the heck are you doing? And then 3 years goes by and it's like, oh my God, they were geniuses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I got you, man. Scott, let's flashback, man. You got something?
Most of them were taken from me before. No big deal. I'm going to just go with one that's a little bit personal. Drew Holiday getting traded on draft night for Nerlens Noel.
So that's number 6 pick and a future pick, first round. I think that turned out to be Dario Saric. So, yeah, man, that Drew Holiday won, and Drew is an NBA champion now.
Yeah, he started my streak of owning jerseys of Philadelphia players who immediately get traded afterwards. He started my streak.
Oh, man, good player, by the way. Really good player. One of the best defensive players in the league.
Regardless of position.
Yep, Scott, thanks, man. Enjoy the weekend.
No problem.
You got it, man. Yep, definitely. Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is definitely one. Drew Holiday is definitely one that a lot of people talk about. I wanted him last year when the whole Harden thing was discussed. We were talking about trading Simmons for Harden. My question was that that week, one of those weeks that we talked about it, would you prefer to have a trio if you don't have to give up Simmons? Because we saw what the package was to get Holiday out of New Orleans. Would you prefer to have Holiday, Simmons, and Embiid, or Harden and Embiid? Mine was to take the trio. That was my choice. Brian and Conchie, next. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Devon? How you doing?
Oh, good, man. How about you?
All right. Great call from the guy before me. That Drew Holiday trade really hurt. I was in Chicago, actually, at the time, and I looked over my brother after looking at Twitter, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, wait, what? Uh-huh. And I didn't realize the process was already happening at that point, uh-huh. But that was definitely shocking. But if I was going to say, if I'm going to start off with the flashback moment, just because I feel like I got some jokes at the moment.
Okay.
So if I could go back in time, I would have gotten McNabb some Pepto-Bismol before that last drive in the Super Bowl.
Ah, here you go.
It would have been nice to have two over the Patriots, just like the Giants, but... Man, that would have been nice if we actually capped off the dub there.
Hey, man, he heaved on the field, but he threw a touchdown the next play, man. Greg Lewis.
He did make it happen a little
he
bit.
He did. I think his issue was the first half, not that second half, really. They should have been up 21-7.
It was like that scene in The Replacements. They're all huddled around. I'm not going to talk about Ben Simmons. I'm not commenting until there's some real developments, like, say, he's expected to play for a game or there's another team that's in serious talks for a trade, because it just seems futile at this point. But I would note on the Sixers, though, some props to Elton Brand and Daryl Morey. Back-to-back years now, they've been able to find good role players to add to this team. 2 years ago, Seth Curry. And I really like...
Even George drafting, Deanna. When you talk about Thibault and Maxey as well.
Absolutely. And Yang's been, I can't say enough good things about him. Like I said, between him and Curry, back-to-back years, just great additions for our basketball team.
No question.
But I guess to conclude, on the Eagles, I did tell you last week the Eagles were going to cover. I didn't think that they were going to win 44-6, but I thought it was a little funky that, you know, we're bad, but the Lions are 0-7. And
yeah.
They don't have any momentum going, so you got to kind of follow Vegas on that one. But this weekend,
what you got?
I feel like we're thoroughly outmatched talent-wise. Chargers actually did play decent run defense last week. Damian Harris had 23 carries for just 80 yards.
Yeah.
And so even though they did rush for over 100 yards as a team, but I don't think we do keep up the ground game. You were kind of talking about that earlier about how he sees the two starting corners are out and we're going to try to air it out and all that. I hope that he doesn't do that, but I feel like we're going to kind of revert back to our old bad habits. So unfortunately, I got 27-17. The Chargers do win
27-17. On the road. 27-17. Brian, as always, man, we really appreciate it. You got a flashback? Oh, you already gave it to us in the beginning, so we'll take
that.
Thanks, man. Donovan McNabb, Pepto, Super Bowl.
Take care,
two
man.
Over the Patriots. Thanks, man. Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate it, man. Let's keep it rolling. Barry in Doylestown next. What's up, Barry?
Hey, Devon. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How about you?
I'm well. Listen, I'm calling. I found a scouting report on Ben Simmons from March of 2016, and the gentleman that wrote it is Jonathan
Gavoni from Draft Express.
Okay, so are you familiar with this one?
Very much so, yes.
All right, do you mind if I...
But share it with everybody, yep.
Thank you, okay. So, it's a small paragraph, but it packs just about every single thing that this guy is about. Simmons' lack of competitiveness in crucial games has raised questions about his character. Those who know him best say he needs things to revolve around him, on and off the court, and that he's often been close-minded to coaching and intervention. This is 5 years ago, and it's amazing that he hasn't matured, in my opinion, beyond this. He's exactly what Jonathan described.
It was spot on. Amazing that he had that at that time back in 2016. And unfortunately, those things have come to surface here for us. Again, unfortunately, especially when we thought, and he was a big part. He has been a big part of their success. And right now, unfortunately, he can't get out of his own way. My problem too, Barry, and look, we can talk a lot about this tomorrow too as we lead into the game. Maybe not a lot because I don't want to, but my part of my problem here is, at what point does he finally just look at himself and say, I can't blame everyone else. Part of this is on me.
Exactly.
That's it. Just be a grown-up about it and take responsibility for your actions as well. You can say, because people have said, well, how come Doc Rivers didn't do this right? Joel Embiid shouldn't have said what he said, and the team hasn't backed him up. Well, guess what? At what point is it not everybody else's fault, and you play a small part in this as well?
Exactly. And, you know, I know JoJo came out with, he's our brother and we have to support him.
It was good.
You know, all of that. You know, he also, a week before that, said that the team has the best chemistry it's ever had. So I have to think that even though they're all publicly saying that they are standing behind Ben, deep down inside, I would have to think that none of them want him to come back because it's only going to be an interruption
to
what
right.
they're building right now.
Might be right. Well, you know, and listen, Barry, thanks, man. Do you have a flashback?
You know, it was the Paul Pierce one.
I'll write it right here. Another Paul Pierce. I know, man. I know. Thanks, man. Enjoy your weekend. Appreciate it. Let's go to Merrill because this has to be our last call. We apologize, Roman. Maybe we can catch up tomorrow. But Merrill, thanks for checking in. You got about 60 seconds, man.
Hey, Devon.
Hey, what's going on?
I love the conversation. I want to do a flashback.
Please do.
Where you said you could change the past. I love Charlie Manuel. I really loved Ryan Howard. And I wish that Charlie Manuel had not traded for Jim Thome. So Ryan Howard would have had a shot at the Hall of Fame.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. Wow, look at that. That's a good one. How about that? Yeah, because even when he blew out his Achilles, and you never want anybody to do that, he was probably on the tail end like everybody. We saw after that, most of them started to go down, and it probably would have been the same for him at some point. But the extra years added on, the home runs that he was hitting in the minor leagues, he would have at least hit half of those here, and the numbers would have added up where maybe it would have helped him out. You might be right, Merrill.
That team was so uplifting and exciting. It's just an example. I like the way a conversation gone tonight with old people. There was a lot of uplifting thoughts about sports and what it does for the city. I know it's going to happen again. I actually think if the Eagles coaching is good this weekend, they're going to upset the Chargers.
Oh.
And I love the basketball team chemistry and dynamics.
I don't think it has anything to do with Ben. The team has been coming together. As you know, Ben, like Ryan Howard, has been one of my favorite players. I still think he has character. I'm not trying to be polarizing on this.
Yeah.
I just hope everybody, you're a good man. You're trying to be easy. If there's a lot of very big negativity, I hope it all passes. One day, Ben may be one of our best competitors, and we're going to see some exciting games when there's real competition.
Well, we all hope so. We all hope so. Merrill, thanks, man. Enjoy the weekend. Really appreciate you jumping in tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it, man. Thank you, Dylan Buchanan. Thank you so much. Barrett Brooks, we appreciate him coming on tonight. And thanks to all the callers, listeners, and tweeters as well. Coming up next, we have, right here, starting at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, Joe Wiz, the Fine Line, starting in just a few minutes, about 7 minutes. Everybody have a great weekend. I will be with you tomorrow before Sixers basketball after Temple. So if you're looking for me, I'll be here. Starting around 6:15, I guess. We'll be on until leading up to Sixers Bulls basketball right here on the Fanatic. So everybody be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow after Temple football right here on the Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.